Distortion number three, perhaps the most common of all these days in our culture. I'm on a spiritual journey, so I'm okay. And again, this is a dangerous distortion precisely because it does contain a very important truth, which is that the Christian life can rightly be described as a journey.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, today we're continuing our message, Saving Your Soul. We began last time by looking at some of the most common misconceptions of what true salvation is all about.
Yeah, and the first of these was, you know, Jesus died, so I'm okay. There's some folks who have the idea that simply because Jesus died on the cross, that means that everything's okay for everybody and there's nothing left for me to do. Well, the scripture speaks about us returning to the shepherd and the overseer of our souls. So there's definitely something for us to do. And then we looked at a second distortion, which is, you know, I believed and I'm okay, as if salvation derived simply from signing off on certain beliefs. Again, we saw that the weight of what the Bible says, no, we're returning to the shepherd and the overseer of our souls, submitting to Jesus Christ as the Lord who is the Savior, not simply signing off on a belief. So there's a lot of misunderstanding about what it actually means to truly become a Christian and to be saved. And we're trying to get to the root of that.
We're doing exactly that in today's message. And so if you can, hope you'll open your Bibles and join us in 1 Peter chapter 2 as we continue this message, Saving Your Soul. Here's Pastor Colin.
Faith is more than signing off on a creed. See, some folks have the idea that if they simply say, well, I believe that Jesus died for my sins, or if at some time in the past, you know, I was at a camp when I was 7 years old or whatever, and I said that I believed this, that therefore their souls are saved. But there is much more to being a Christian than simply believing that Jesus died for your sins. And I want you to see what more there is in verse 25 right in front of you. He says, "For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." So he's presenting Jesus Christ to us. And in verse 24, he presents Jesus as the Savior who died on the cross. In verse 25, he presents Jesus as the shepherd who rose from the dead. So that being a Christian is more than believing in a Savior who died, it is submitting to the shepherd who lives. Now think about the shepherd and the sheep. The shepherd cares for the sheep. The shepherd guards the sheep. The shepherd provides for the sheep. But the most important thing of all to say is that the shepherd owns the sheep. They're his sheep. A man by the name of William Still, a godly pastor in Scotland, now with the Lord, wrote a book some time ago called The Work of a Pastor. I read it first in my early 20s, little book. I've gone back to it time and again and always found it very helpful. He asks the question, what does it mean to be a shepherd of the flock of God? What does it mean to be a pastor? And on the first page of the book, he says something very striking that I had never seen before, and in all these years, I've never seen it stated anywhere else either. Here's what he says. Israel's sheep were reared, fed, tended, retrieved, healed, and restored for what? For sacrifice on the altar of God. You think about that. Israel's sheep. There's the shepherds in Israel's sheep, and they're bringing them back when they stray, and they're feeding them and nourishing them and raising these lambs. And what for? Israel's sheep were reared, fed, tended, retrieved, healed, and restored. All for what purpose? For sacrifice on the altar of God. And therefore, he says, the end of all pastoral work must never be forgotten, that its ultimate aim is to lead God's people to offer ourselves to him in a total devotion of worship, life, and service. Now, what then does it mean for Jesus Christ to be the shepherd and the overseer of your soul? It means that all that you are and all that you have is placed at his disposal. It means that you offer yourself to him, in William Still's words, in a total devotion of life and worship and service. That's what it means. That's what it means to be a Christian. Now, I was trying to think of a way of illustrating this to bring it home to us. Now, so I was thinking, well, what else, in apart from our lives themselves, actually has value? And so think with me for a moment about your money. Your money has value. It doesn't have as much value as your life and your soul, but your money does have value. So what do you do with it? So one thing that you could do with the money that you are able to save is that you could stuff it under your mattress. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands as to how many people are actually doing that. I hope you're not. But I suppose there's a logical case that a person could come up with and say, now look, it's my money, and I want to keep it where I can see it. And I'm not going to trust anyone else. I'm not going to trust it to a bank or any of these fancy funds. I'm going to keep it where I can see it because it's my money. I'm stuffing it under the mattress. Now, my guess is that most of you don't do that. And here's what you probably do if you're wise. You say to yourself, now look, my money has value. So I want to put it in a place where, number one, it is safe, and number two, it will grow. That's what you say to yourself if you're wise. And then you will select funds or whatever, investments, and that you will trust your money into the safest hands you can find. That's what you do, because your money has value. Now, what about your soul? Your soul is of greater value than your money. And if you were to say, well, now, wait a minute, this is my life, and I'm going to do with this life as I please, what you're doing is the spiritual equivalent of stuffing the money under the mattress. That's what you're doing. And Jesus says, if you do that, if you try to save your life, here's what will happen. You lose it. You lose it. You have a soul. It's more valuable than all the world. It's more valuable than your total net worth. But if you try to keep it in your own hands, you lose it. And here is the good news. There is a Savior. There is a shepherd. There is an overseer. There is a guardian of souls. And his name is Jesus Christ. And if you will trust your soul, your very life, all that you are and all that you have into his hands, your soul will prosper. Your life will become more. And here is the strange enigma that Jesus teaches to us. It's hard for us to get our minds around it. But in the very act of losing your life by giving it into the hands of Jesus Christ, you will save it and you will keep it for eternal life. And friends, I say to you today, there is nothing greater in all the world than being able to say, "The Lord is my shepherd." Because when you can say, "The Lord is my shepherd," you can also say, "I will not want." My life, my death, my eternal future is safe in his hands. Distortion number one: Jesus died and I'm okay. Totally ignores dying to sin and living to righteousness. Distortion number two: I believed, so I'm okay. Totally ignores your life being placed into the hands of the shepherd who lives. Distortion number three, perhaps the most common of all these days in our culture: I'm on a spiritual journey, so I'm okay. I'm on a spiritual journey, so I'm okay. And again, this is a dangerous distortion precisely because it does contain a very important truth, which is that the Christian life can rightly be described as a journey. Jesus spoke about the Christian life as the narrow way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In Christian history, John Bunyan, who wrote perhaps the greatest of Christian books outside of the Bible, The Pilgrim's Progress, he pictured in that book the life of a Christian as a journey to heaven in which we pass through many, many difficulties. I do encourage you to read that book. It's a great book to read with your children at some point as they grow up. But notice this as you read it. As Bunyan depicts the journey, there is a definite path. And there is a clear destination. In our culture, the spiritual journey has become a sort of metaphor for the sum total of an individual's spiritual experience. In other words, your spiritual journey becomes a kind of soup comprising of any faith that you might have, any doubts that you might have, any experiences that you might have. They all get mixed together and they become your spiritual journey. And the journey seems often in our culture to become an end in itself. It doesn't have a particular destination. The journey is the thing. Now here's the problem, and I want you to hear this clearly. There is a spiritual journey on the way to being lost as well as a spiritual journey on the way to being saved.
That is a powerful warning here on Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. We're in the middle of a message called Saving Your Soul. It's part of a series called Soul Care. And today, we're really looking at 1 Peter chapter 2. Hope you'll stay with us. We'll get back to this message in just a moment. By the way, if you ever join us late, have to leave early, or want to go back and listen again, you can always do that by coming to our website. It's openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Again, that's at openthebible.org. You can also listen to Pastor Colin's teaching on the go if you have the Open the Bible app. It's a great way to listen on demand whenever it fits your schedule. You'll find the app at your favorite app store. Just look for Open the Bible, or we'll link you to it through the website. Again, openthebible.org. And however you've connected with us, whether that's been through the radio or online, thank you for supporting this ministry. See, we are dependent upon your generosity to keep Pastor Colin's teaching on this station. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by sending you a book he's picked out called Checkbook of the Bank of Faith, written by Charles Spurgeon. Again, it's our thank you gift to you as you give a financial gift of any amount this month. Find out more or give online at openthebible.org or call us at 877-OPEN-365. That's 877-673-6365. Or again, our website, openthebible.org. All right, back to the message. Here is Pastor Colin.
There is a spiritual journey that ends in being lost, as well as a spiritual journey that ends in being saved. And the reason that that is the case is that you cannot be saved by your spiritual journey. No one can be saved by it. How can your spiritual journey save you? Only Jesus Christ can save you. Not the sum total of your faith, doubts, and experiences. Spend your life as a wandering sheep, and you spend your eternity as a lost soul. So compare the vagueness of all this spiritual journey language that is all around us in the culture today with what Peter says here, and you will see that there is a vast difference. Look at verse 25. For you were straying like sheep. Well, there's the journey. Wandering all over the place in confusion, not really knowing who you are, what you believe, or to whom you belong. You were straying like sheep, but, so here's something different. Here's something that has happened, and what is it? You have now returned. Now notice he doesn't say, but now you're in a process of returning, working out what it all means. And no, he doesn't say that. He says, now you have returned. It's a definite completed action. Now hear me clearly. There is a whole journey of following Jesus Christ and of growing in Jesus Christ that is the Christian life. But the Christian life begins with a definite return to Jesus Christ as the shepherd, the owner, the overseer, and the Lord of your life.
Now, you see this all over the Bible. Let me simply back up what I'm saying here from a couple of places that will be familiar to you. Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells the story, the parable of the lost sheep. And the shepherd goes and finds this lost sheep, lays the sheep on his shoulder, brings the sheep back to the fold. There is a definite return. The sheep was lost. But the sheep is now found, and the reason that the sheep is no longer lost is that the sheep is now under the direction of the shepherd. That's how you know that you're not lost, that your life is under the direction of the shepherd. Not under the direction of the shepherd, you're away from the shepherd, you're a lost sheep. Then Jesus tells another story about a lost son. And you remember this story. He went to the far country and he indulged himself in all this reckless living. And then there's a great famine. He doesn't know what to do and he comes to his senses and he says, I will arise and I will go to my father. He decided to return. That's the word that Peter is using here. And when he returned, he said to his father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. And returning to the father meant leaving his life of sin. A friend of mine gave me this marvelous quotation from Spurgeon on the prodigal son. Spurgeon says this, the prodigal left the swine trough. More, he left the wine cup and he left the harlots. He did not go with the harlot on his arm and the wine cup in his hand and say, I will take these with me and go to my father. It could not be so. These were all left. And though he had not goodness to bring, yet he did not try and keep his sins and come to Christ. Now, Isaiah the prophet says what Spurgeon says in that vivid picture very, very clearly. And I want us to take this in today, for this is the very word of God. He says to us, seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. And then he explains to us what this means. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return. Notice that word, the word that Peter uses. Return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to your God, that he will abundantly pardon. So you see what Isaiah is saying. Returning, it means forsaking. And it means forsaking both ways and thoughts. To return means that you quit known sins, that you forsake wicked ways, that you quit thinking that you can live for yourself and still call yourself a Christian, that you quit the wicked idea that you can define what is right and wrong for yourself and still somehow be under the rule of God. Returning means forsaking all that. And returning means submitting. It means that I submit my life to Jesus Christ as the shepherd and the overseer, the owner of my soul. I submit my life to Christ's word so that he is the one who tells me what is right and tells me what is wrong, so that forsaking what he tells me is sin and pursuing what he tells me is righteousness, I can walk that path of dying to sin and living to righteousness. That's what it looks like. The starting point for being a Christian is that Jesus Christ is your Lord. That's why the way we like to teach the gospel in the orchard is these four words, Lord, sin, Savior, faith. The Lord is my shepherd. If he's not your Lord, how can he be your shepherd? And if he's not your shepherd, why in the world are you going around thinking that he is your Savior? If you're away from the fold and you have not returned. So here's the message. You have a soul, and it is of greater value than the whole world. And one of two things will happen to your soul. Either your soul will be saved or your soul will be lost. And I want your soul to be saved. I wish I could just sit
for a minute with every young person, every boy and girl, every teenager in the congregation today, and look you in the eye and say, I want your soul to be saved. I wish I could sit with every older person in the congregation, and you're moving into the later seasons of life. I wish I could say to you with the urgency that I feel, I want your soul to be saved. There's a shepherd, there's a savior, there is a Lord who is able to save your soul. And no person who comes to him, however late and whatever you may have done, will ever be turned away. And no soul that is ever trusted into his hand will ever be lost. Have you returned to him? You say, he is my Lord and he is my Savior. Are you on the journey of dying to sin and living to righteousness under the authority of Jesus Christ with his word ruling in your life? Are you ready to begin that today? Or are you doing the spiritual equivalent of stuffing your money under the mattress? Because if you're doing that, my life stuff, then you need to hear that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, says to you, if you save your life, you will lose it. But now with love and with compassion, he says to you, but if you lose your life for my sake, for the gospel's, give it to me. Trust it to the shepherd. Your whole self, all that you are. You'll keep it. You'll save it, even for eternal life.
What a great way to wrap up today's message, being reminded of the truth that if we come to Christ and we are in him, there is no soul that will ever be lost. Today's message is called Saving Your Soul. And maybe as you've been listening, you realize that you don't know Jesus in this way. You couldn't say with confidence that your soul has been saved. And you want to change that today. I hope you'll contact us here at Open the Bible. You can reach us through our website, openthebible.org, or call and talk to a staff member about beginning a relationship with Jesus. Our toll-free number is 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 877-673-6365. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported broadcast. We're able to stay on this station because of your generosity. So if you're giving and supporting this ministry, thank you for doing that. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, as our way of saying thanks, we want to send you a book called Checkbook of the Bank of Faith, written by Charles Spurgeon.
Yes, and one of the things that I love about Spurgeon, Steve, is that he speaks from the Bible directly to the heart. And this Checkbook of the Bank of Faith is Spurgeon at his very best. It's one promise for every day of the year, and maybe just three paragraphs to apply that promise to our lives. I mean, here's a sample of Spurgeon that I read just this morning. I will strengthen thee. He quotes that wonderful promise from Isaiah and chapter 41. And then he says this, when called to serve or to suffer, we take stock of our strength and we find it to be less than we thought and less than we need. Well, everyone knows what that experience is like. How am I going to face this? Then he says, but God has strength, and that strength he can communicate to us, and his promise is that he will do so. See, simple, direct, taking the truth of the scripture, applying it to life. God will give you all the strength you need for all that you face. Now, to be able to take in truth like that from the Bible in 1 minute in any given day, I think is a rich gift indeed. And I think that folks are going to love this Checkbook of the Bank of Faith. I've used it often and continue to find it a really treasured resource.
Well, it is our gift to you as you give a financial gift of any amount and support Open the Bible this month. You can give online when you come to openthebible.org. You can also call our toll-free number at 877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or again, our website is openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening today, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. God tells us in the Bible that we're to guard our hearts. But how do you do that? Find out next time on Open the Bible.